Hey everybody out there in internet land, this is Alan Awojcik, your prognosticator for kayfabewrestlingradio.com. Sorry, I haven't posted anything in a day or two, but I've been dealing with some interesting news that has come out of TNA's tapings overseas. This was posted today, January 30th at 1:22 Eastern Time. It comes from the Twitter account of VP of Talent Relations, which would be John Gbirek. You know him as Big. He used to handle stuff for WWE. If you watch Tough Enough season 1, 2, and 3, he was involved with there. He subsequently now has what Terry Taylor did, what Bruce Prichard did, what I would never want to wish on anybody in their life's job. Here it goes, verbatim. Quote, prior to the Impact TV taping, the Manchester Arena, Kia Stevens was involved in an incident involving Rebecca Hardy. Subsequently, Ms. Stevens was removed from the tour and sent home to the United States. The matter is being reviewed to determine if any additional disciplinary action will be taken. Now, if you're wondering who the heck Kia Stevens and Rebecca Hardy are, you know them as Awesome Kong and Rebby Sky. This has been confirmed by multiple sources. I know PWI Insider reported it and a couple other sites that. Yes, she was sent home after an incident at the taping. Multiple sources report that Kong had a problem with Rebby attempting to dress in the women's locker room and ended up throwing Rebby's bag out into the locker room. According to reports, Kong confronted Rebby for not apologizing when she tried to return to the room. There's two versions of this story going around. One is that Kong attempted to go after her and was stopped. Two is the one that was heard from far more people is Kong getting physical with Rebby, throttling around the neck until she was restrained by several people, including Pat Kenny, who you knew as Simon Diamond before he retired. Also reported is that Matt and Rebecca's son, Maxwell, were near all this. This supposedly goes back to a 2013 incident where she went off on Twitter. This is Rebecca when she visited our show with Matt a couple times. We had talked about this kind of incident. They had worked some shows with Sid Vicious, who had no-showed, and she talked about the lack of respect from a veteran, not informing a promoter, and that kind of thing, and that led to her and Sonny, Tammy Sitch, having a verbal war on Twitter, and then Rebecca and Awesome Kong having one, and I believe it even got brought up on the Kayfabe Commentaries You Shoot that she did with Sean Oliver, that being Awesome Kong, who actually put her in the hoe bag. If you don't know what that means, if you've never seen a Kayfabe Commentaries feature, she basically was given a list of ladies in the business, and if she felt that they were, well, a hoe, there was a purse in this case, and you were put in the hoe bag. And apparently, this has all been stirring and stemming, which I've saw these two interact at Shine Wrestling a few times, and I don't understand it. Why do this on an overseas tour where you're representing the company and there's probably tons of people? And if the story is true that Maxwell is around and Matt's there, ooh. So hopefully this gets all resolved in the coming days. I know tonight they were filming and I know they're doing the Lethal Lockdown at some point on this tour. In fact, let's get, because they're supposed to be filming the final matches of Kurt Angle's farewell situation. Now he's supposed to work Bobby Lashley. Here we go, ImpactWrestling.com. Which, by the way, if you're an old school fan of Impact Wrestling like I am, TNA Wrestling, way back when it was called NWA TNA, You can actually go on their YouTube channel and you can check out the night that Ron the Truth Killings won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship from Ken Shamrock, which wasn't even the main event of that show, which is mind-blowing. That main event actually turned into what launched the X Division. Should be Low-Ki defeating AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn to win the X Division title, which led to a ladder match and all kinds of cool stuff. So they've already filmed overseas a hardcore war 8-man match that's going to have Abyss, Crazy Steve, Bram, and Eric Young taking on Beer Money and the Wolves. That will air this Tuesday, February 2nd. Now, their tours, this is according to TNAWrestling.com. They are in Birmingham tomorrow, which I believe is the last day of the event. They did a show in London tonight. There's the neat little poster. So, yes, Manchester was yesterday, London today. Maximum Impact 8. Yeah, pretty amazing they've done that. And I don't know how much a pound is, but for £245, you are guaranteed a ringside seat in the first two rows, early entry to the venue, meet and greet with up to 8 stars, including photographs and personalized photos, professional photo with the TNA World Championship, piece of exclusive tour merchandise, and a VIP tour laminate. If you wanted to pony up £395 or quid, I'm never sure. Need to get schooled on the British exchange rate. You also got a pre-event Q&A with Dixie Carter. You get to attend and participate in a creative workshop with the TNA creative team. Yeah, let's destroy the fourth wall completely. Also got a pre-event backstage tour with Dixie, visiting TV truck, changing room. You got to walk the ramp, get to get in the ring, the six-sided ring, and tour, take a photo with Dixie. Wow, that's some impressive stuff there. So hopefully peace comes to TNA land, and hopefully this gets settled, because I've met Awesome Kong, I've met Kia Stevens, and she's one of the sweetest people you would ever imagine. Heck, she's done this show, and you meet her, and you see this big, huge, ominous-looking woman, and I mean big in height. She's tall as me, and I'm 6'2". And then this sweet southern voice comes out of her. My 13-year-old Juliet even said, "I can't watch Impact ever again." Why? See, 'cause I know what voice comes out of Awesome Kong. Can't be done, Dad. I'm not gonna do it. Hopefully, you got to watch Impact the other night. Don't forget, you can also, I believe UFC's on tonight. Also, had some news that came out of the TV taping for NXT, which was on Wednesday night, which we'll talk about in a moment or two. If you got to watch NXT with me Wednesday night, you got to see Sami Zayn in action against Baron Corbin and Samoa Joe, where we had, well, looked like he tapped out. Baron Corbin tapped out to crossface, which I guess that's allowed in the company again. While Sami Zayn had Baron Corbin locked in a sharpshooter. So, of course, William Regal and the referee end the show going, I don't know who won. Very entertaining bout. I know it'll lead to some stuff which we'll be seeing taped recently at the UCF stuff where Austin Aries debuted. His show is March 2nd, I believe. So you also got to see the debut of Elias Samson. Looks like a guitar-playing drifter. He defeated John Skyler. Like Corey Graves, I'm kind of sitting there going, okay, get a guitar. You don't play the guitar. We did this with Jeff Jarrett and the Honky Tonk Man. And yes, you're more ominous looking than both of those cats, but I don't know what you're doing. Alex Riley made his return to the ring, and wow, he was very impressive. Defeated Bull Dempsey. So who knows what's going to go on with Alex Riley there. Saw a very interesting promo from Big Cass and Carmella and Enzo Amore, and that was one fired up Enzo Amore. Also got to see the American Alpha in the ring. They defeated Blake and Murphy, and as I tweeted out, I want to see American Alpha versus Haas and Benjamin from back in the day, because man, that would be an amazing bout of epic proportions from the amateur skills they got going. Don't need to talk about SmackDown, since hey, I was at SmackDown, so it doesn't matter what happened. What did happen is this past Wednesday at the tapings in Orlando, they announced he's coming to WrestleMania weekend. The Takeover show in Dallas is loaded. One of the matches you are going to see, and this isn't a spoiler because I believe it's already all over the place. Shinsuke Nakamura, who's doing his farewell stuff overseas right now, will take on Sami Zayn. Take my money right now. Take it. Takeover show, if you go to the sites that are out there, NoDQ.com's got it, PW Mania. They've all got it. You can see the whole card. That's going to give away some stuff. Lots of spoilers. The Austin Aries makes his TV debut. Yeah, you can go to WrestlingNewsWorld.com. They've got all the spoilers up there. Lucha Underground made its return, and it was said to folks, when you watch it, it's not my WWE, it's not my wrestling, not mine at all, it's not my generation, but it's still interesting to watch because you've got Robert Rodriguez and his film production folks, Troublemaker behind it. And visually, it's an amazing product. It's the alternative to WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. Got to see that now Katrina is running the show as Dario Cuarto is on the run. See him at the end of the show in a very weird way. Open very interesting as well. Vampiro looked like he was in some mental hospital, 181 days without an incident. He's being evaluated. He snaps. He attacked a doctor. He doesn't attack a doctor. I'm not sure. So at least him and Matt Stryker are back in the commentary desk. And Mil Muertes, who defeated Prince Puma at the end of last season, has a throne that he sits at during the entire show. Hopefully, he doesn't have to go to the bathroom anywhere. The Gift of the Gods title that Phoenix won, he lost already. Lost it to King Cuerno. Very good match. Very shocking. He had an inverted package pile driver, which looked very safe. Wasn't one of those venomous looking things that are out there. Angelico, Son of Havoc, Ibelisse made their return and said to Katrina, "We want in. We want our six-man loot trios belts back." So, no, I got a better idea. You guys are going to face each other. The winner faces Mil Muertes later in the evening. Problem, though, we as a home audience saw this promo. Well done promo. Cut to Matt Stryker and Vampiro sitting at the desk. They're oblivious. They're clueless. They have no clue that this match is coming out. So that's my only gripe with the show. I'll get to someone a moment who really had some gripes with the show. Yeah, to the shock of everyone, including me, Ibelisse wins the match. She beats Son of Havoc and Angelico. It took a whole season of this product to get behind the idea of women interacting with the guys, being physical and wrestling matches. I know it's Lucha Libre, they present it differently. I don't know if I would want to see John Cena versus Charlotte or Bailey versus Baron Corbin, but I guess the suspense of belief in Lucha Underground, it works. She actually looked really good in there with Will Muertes. However, she was there alone because the Disciples of Death, the Trios Champs, they came out. They took out Havoc and Angelico. She nearly won the match. She won with a Tornado DDT. And no, credit to Will Muertes. You knew him as Ricky Banderas. He worked for TNA for a while under a hood in a feud with Abyss. I can't remember his name right now, but he made her look good, and sadly she lost. Before any damage could happen, Prince Puma came out. I'm ready for you. And oh man, Pentagon Jr. comes out. He attacks, and he nearly They made it like he broke his arm, and that ends that action. And the Asian lady that was with Dario Cuero at the end of the season took off with the big guy in the cage. Well, they reappear, and she brings these three guys to Dario and says, "I'll let you in to fight in my grounds. It's $20." But it doesn't look like they're entering the traditional temple. Looks like they went into the den that big, huge masked monster is in. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on here. Which then leads to one of my favorite managers of all time, Jim Cornette. He's not a happy camper. I'm gonna. Oh, the heck with it. It's my podcast. My kids aren't gonna listen. So. This is probably the first time in the 3 years of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio I'm gonna curse. Only because, well, Jim Cornette did it. This fucking Lucha Underground horseshit. That is the most heinous horseshit that I have ever seen in my life. We joked off the air on his podcast, and I said, well, I probably like the match, but I won't like the concept of the show because it has writers. End quote. They didn't like nothing. This is more embarrassing than anything I could have ever dreamed up. It's a TV show. It's a movie. It's not wrestling. It's not a sport. They make no pretense of even attempting to make that shit believable. The production is incredible. Looks like Scorsese directed it. Cinematography is wonderful. Looks like a John Ford Western, whatever the fuck. I can't say enough about the production, and it's another nail in the coffin of wrestling being taken seriously as a sport or anything that's not completely predetermined. There's nobody on the face of the planet that can watch that shit and believe that there is any legitimacy to it whatsoever. It shouldn't be called pro wrestling at all. It's a movie and they're wrestling in the movie. That's all it fucking is. That backstage horseshit that obviously takes multiple takes to shoot something like that. Nobody's believing these people. It's a scripted performance of a movie or a TV show. That's all that shit is. Take a breath. And good God, I watch Prince Puma and Phoenix. I know Lucha is obviously acrobatic, but this was a choreographed fucking Chinese Olympic acrobats tumbling routine. That's all that fucking was. And the three-way ladder match is more garbage horseshit, hardcore wrestling when they are beating each other up with furniture that doesn't work with you and somebody's going to get killed. And just more of this ladder goofiness. And the recap of the year when there's Vampiro hitting with light tubes and thumbtacks on the ground, and John Morrison, I like he was an OVW guy, Ohio Valley Wrestling, my little note in there. I like him as a person. I'm sorry to see him in that atmosphere instead of real wrestling. The only way to save this goddamn horse shit is if they get everyone in that fucking temple associated with Lucha Underground and all the tapes of everything they've ever shot and put it in the same place and then drop a nuclear fucking bomb and the whole goddamn thing. That'd be the best way to treat Lucha Underground. And if you're a wrestling fan who had any pride in professional wrestling as a performer, as a professional, or as a fan, because it's more right as happy horse shit wrestling, making wrestlers phony. That being said, as I said, I respect Jim Cornette. He's been on this product twice in interviews. This isn't your wrestling, Jim. It's not mine. It's not what I grew up on in the 1980s when I was watching you with the Midnight Express take on the Rock and Roll Express, the Fantastics, the Road Warriors, Arn and Tully. It's not even the stuff I taught 10 years ago with AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe versus Christopher Daniels and TNA. It's Lucha Libre. It's Mexican wrestling. It's the alternative. And I respect your opinion, but you don't like what you're watching? Turn it off. Don't watch the show. I will. I'll watch Wednesdays if I can. If not, I got it in the DVR. So, as I said, Jim Cornette is a brilliant man, but sometimes you gotta let the young kids have their fun. Interesting article came across my desk from a young person named Alex Groot at voactive.com. The article is called WWE's Looming Sexism Problem. Here's an excerpt of the article. Sadly, such treatment in sexism is nothing new for Lana, real name CJ Perry, who was once positioned in a storyline as a strong, confident manager and mouthpiece for the Bulgarian brute Rusev, who tore through much of the roster upon his arrival. But not before long, John Cena was calling her a hoe and suggesting she performed favors to procure matches, rival Ryback was taunting her about going all the way with Dolph Ziggler, and lead commentator Michael Cole led off an interview by probing into her sexual history. What do all these characters have in common? They were positioned as babyfaces in their storylines, the good guys that the fans are expected to support and cheer for. That, for far too long, has been the strange ethos of the WWE, where women are objects, crude name calling is to be cheered, and slut shaming is righteous. Indeed, it is no secret that the company has a checkered, problematic past not only with women, but with race, homophobia, and taking care of its own employees. The empire Vince McMahon built has a rather retrograde history, much like that of professional wrestling, more broadly. It's a very long article that brings up Becky Lynch getting kissed by Ric Flair, The Rock's promo on Monday night where he suggested that they did stretching stuff. And so I'm a parent. I kind of look at it the same light as everybody else and go, okay. Here's what they list as WWE's statement in response. WWE programming, quote, which features fictional characters that covers a range of personalities similar to movies and television shows, tells stories of good versus evil. In addition, as our ongoing storylines develop, we will continue to position women as both strong competitors and compelling individuals. Same thing that went on in the Attitude Era. At some point, as a parent, you gotta sit and police what your kids are watching. Yes, WWE currently appears PG, but even in a PG atmosphere, it also depends on your child. Can they comprehend what they're seeing in front of them? My 7-year-old is smart to the business. She knows what she sees. don't do at school. My 13-year-old, same way. They both been in locker rooms. They both had wrestlers visit the house for dinner. They've been at shows. They've seen legit injuries. They've seen black eyes, bloody lips, bloody noses. What they understand is what they're seeing is a choreographed performance. Yes, people get hurt. Yes, there's storylines, but police, your kids, and what they're watching. Vince is not going to change what he sees. And his daughter's also in charge, so don't just point your blame finger at Vince McMahon. Miss Levesque over there, in charge of creative, she's involved too. You get two writing staffs, you've got Triple H, so don't just point the gun at Vince when you start going after WWE. Plenty of blame for everybody. I've ranted long enough. I'm going to go have dinner with my wife. Here's all the Twitter, Facebook, email information. Like what I'm saying? Don't like what I'm saying? It's at my name is Wojcik, W-O-J-C-I-K, at gmail.com. Facebook, it's facebook.com/kayfabewrestlingradio. Twitter handle is at my name is Wojcik. And thank you again to Gerwek.net for posting our stuff, PWMania.com, NoDQ.com. They're all great avenues to pick up all your wrestling news and knowledge because I retweet their stuff. Don't forget, you can go to CZWStudios.com, sign up, just like WWE Network, get to see some cool stuff. And of course, if you live where you can watch Ring of Honor before they air Wednesday nights on Comet, which I don't get, sadly, Ring of Honor is on. It's on in my area, in the Tampa Bay market, tonight at 11 Eastern. So check it out. Congrats to Jay Lethal and the Young Bucks. They both re-signed to be a part of Ring of Honor. Also forgot to mention the Wolves, Jeff Hardy. They're not going anywhere either. They're staying with TNA. I'm Alan Wojcik. See you at the matches. Good night from the Sunshine State.